Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, what a joy to gather, and you've given us joy and ability to laugh, of course, ability to cry. But this morning, Lord, we just thank you that we can gather for prayer.
Yes.
And so as we look at another prayer in the Bible, Lord, this morning, may we just learn more of you and more about prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to look at the model prayer today, Matthew 6. We're just going to look at verse 9. We'll kind of take this a little bit slower because it's a prayer that we've all prayed probably hundreds or thousands of times, and we know every word. But do we really savor the words and really know what Jesus told us in the model prayer? Well, turn, if you would, to Matthew 6, verse 9. And I think the prayer which we're so familiar with, it's a prayer that's estimated that approximately 2 billion people pray every Easter, in that thinking that the Easter celebration or in a Christian Memorial Day, so to speak, is more heavily attended than any other. And so 2 million people praying this prayer, or varieties of this prayer, when all the Christians on the earth gather around and pray. And at any rate, however many pray is not the issue, but it's a prayer that Jesus gave to us. It's a model prayer. It's a pattern prayer, but it also can be recited precisely too. The context of this, as you know, but I think it's important when we grab a prayer out of the Bible and just pray it, which it fits and it works, so to speak. But I think it's important to see how the Lord gave this prayer and what the background was. And, you know, he began the Sermon on the Mount basically in chapter 5 of Matthew. And we have the Beatitudes there, and then continued on into chapter 6. And in chapter 5, he was talking about marriage. He was talking about not to take oaths. He was talking about going the second mile, loving your enemies. And then in chapter 6, he moves on into do good to please God rather than man. And so in verse 1 of chapter 6, he was telling the disciples, take heed that you do not do your deeds before men to be seen by them. Do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do. The word hypocrite is an interesting word, as you know. It's really a word that means an actor. So if you were, today we call them, in the movie, so to speak. But if you were an actor or an actress, it means you're a pretender. You're not really that person. You're pretending to be that person. But this is what he was referring to, the pretenders or the actors. They want to sound a trumpet before they do something, so everybody hears them and sees them. But he's saying here, basically, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. We can notice as we get into this prayer here, three different times Jesus mentions here, when you pray, when you pray, when you pray, in verses 5, 6, and 7. And so we really have the context here then, as we're to be praying to the Father and for him and not for man. And so this is a model prayer, as I mentioned. It is a prayer that can be precisely prayed. There's nothing wrong with praying it precisely. And it basically consists of six petitions. As you know, there's an introduction, which we'll look at today. And then there's three petitions to God, and then there's three petitions to man. But today I just wanted to look at those first few words. Basically, our Father who art in heaven, our Father who art in heaven. And just look at that just a little bit and take that apart a bit so we really understand what Jesus is telling us here. And this is nothing new. You've heard this all before, but it's something I think to remember. First is the first word, our. What a beautiful word that is, our. Notice the spirit of unity and fellowship just in the very first word. It's not my, although he certainly is our individual Father. But in the model prayer, Jesus is telling us to pray with the spirit of unity and fellowship as a part of the body of Christ here. Our Father, interesting, isn't it? The word Father, Pater, is basically used here as a relationship between God and man, is the usage here in the word Father. Of course, the Father means so much more than just a word in a way. We think in terms of he's not a fearful judge set far apart, but he is close. It's a really we can also call that Abba or Daddy Father. It's a very close term, and this was really strange to the Jews because the Jews had spent 1,500 years following the law, and they were afraid of God. And they didn't want to say something as personal as our Father. So Jesus, I think, is making a point here not to pray to a distant, fearful God who hates you. And that's basically what all the pagan gods are.
Right.
Pagan gods, if you go to any place and look at the pagan gods, they're ugly. I mean, they're the most ugly things in the world. You go to India, I haven't been to India, but I've seen pictures of it, but I have been to many parts in Asia. And you go there and all these gods are all dragons and just ugly and
demonic a lot of times.
Demonic, exactly. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. But he's saying here, when you pray, pray our Father. Mm-hmm. Our Papa, who knows your needs best? A loving Father. A loving Father knows your needs better than you do yourself. And so, and this is not just a loving earthly Father. This is the heavenly Father who knows the end from the beginning. Earthly fathers, as good as they can be on their best day, don't know the end from the beginning, because we don't know anything ahead, do we? So we see our loving Father here, and this is what we are thinking of. Another thing that comes to mind to me is the spirit of adoption. And just reading Romans 8:14-17, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So we see here, this is putting that spirit of adoption right into focus when we begin this prayer with our Father, our Father. Then we move on into where the Father is, really, and we frequently say, Our Father who art in heaven, or which art in heaven, and that's a good translation. It's more literally in the Greek, it's just Our Father in the heavens, that the word heaven is plural there in the original, interestingly enough. So we tend to think of He's in heaven, but in the original, it's Our Father in heavens, and that makes sense, too, because what did Solomon say? The heaven of heavens cannot contain you. Mm-hmm. So we have a Father here who is so awesomely huge that heaven of heavens cannot contain him. And we're calling out to him. That's the one we're calling to. Our Father, our Papa, our Daddy. That very compassionate closeness there. But we're able to address the God of the universe, the one who is so big, so huge. He's every place, but he's in the heavens. And so we remember his holiness and his glory, our Father who art in heaven. And we are basically, we can look at all prayers really as letters to heaven from man on earth. And so to an extent, then you could call this the address. This is the address we put on the letter. This is the address we put on the prayer, our Father who art in heaven. Also, it causes us to begin to think of looking up to him, and it's our Father, and we're going to be praying not my will be done, but thy will be done, right?
Yeah.
And so we're even getting into the prayer already of recognizing we're talking to the God of the universe. He is our Father. He is holy. He's filled with glory that we can't even imagine. And we're going to be asking him for his will. we're going to be first having three petitions about him and three petitions of man, but we'll get into that next time because it's too long to, I think, absorb all that is here, really. He's everywhere, as I said, and so he certainly is with us when we pray, as the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, as I said. And so we'll get into the petitions next week, but just these opening words, "Our Father who art in heaven." And when you give those words, slow them down a little bit as you're praying and just think of what that really means and who we're addressing ourselves to. And also one other thing about the Father, as you know, that I didn't mention, does he not know your needs before you pray? Does he not know what you're going to pray before you pray? Is he not even prompting you to pray? And yet we see the promises of God are always linked, or generally always linked, to man's praying. And so if God wants to do something in your life, he probably is not going to do it until you ask him that you're available and ready, because he's not going to violate your own self-will. And if you say, "Lord, I don't think you're going to bless me. I'm just sure you're not going to bless me." Well, he probably isn't going to bless you very much if you've got your door closed to receiving any blessings from him because you don't believe it and you don't, in effect, you're not open to it. That's a far different thing than asking him for his will to be done in your life. And he does want to bless us. We know that. So let's pray to him this morning. We come, of course, in the name of his Son, Jesus, and we come in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we are thinking in terms of praying to our Father who art in heaven.